gentlemen, welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. It was December 4th, 2010, when I received an urgent email from a desperate woman. Her brother was in serious danger, and she believed that with my help and with that of a very powerful judge, together we might free her brother from government tyranny. His name is Brian Aitken, and he was a victim of the modern-day totalitarian state. 4 years after he was sentenced to prison for possessing firearms he legally owned, Aitken has written a story that details the horror show of American gun laws. His new book is The Blue Tent Sky, How the Left's War on Guns Cost Me My Son and My Freedom. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Austin. Appreciate it.
Brian, it's good to see you again. We have an interesting history, you and I. But before we talk a little bit about those details, why don't we get our listeners up to speed on your story? Can you tell us very briefly what happened, the events that led up to you landing in prison?
So back in 2008, I was living in Colorado, had a recent college grad, and moved to Colorado with my fiance. We were married, bought a house, and were pretty much living the dream, especially compared to a lot of my friends in college who, you know, were still trying to find a job. And about 2 weeks after my son was born, I found out that my wife had been living a double life, and things pretty much took a turn for the worst. She moved back to New Jersey to be with my family, and very quickly thereafter, I decided to leave my job, put the house up for sale, and head back to New Jersey to be closer to my son. When I finally got to New Jersey, I'd flown with my handguns with permission from TSA, and things weren't going well. My ex-wife had I had a parenting order that would allow me to see my son a few times a week, and it was just a worthless piece of paper. She pretty much never listened to it, and so I went 4 weeks without being able to see my son at all, including Christmas. And as I was heading towards my parents' house to pack up my car and move up to Hoboken, I got a text message saying, essentially, you know, I talked to my lawyer and he says that you don't have to see your son again this weekend. And at that point, as I was packing up my car, I asked my mom, in, you know, probably not the best language that I should have used with my mom, what the point of being here was if I couldn't see my son. After I said that, she called the police, she called 911 about a half an hour after I'd left my parents' house. And the police responded to an abandoned 911 call because right after my mom placed that phone call, she hung up the phone. And then there was a series of events that led to me being searched and questioned for a period of 3 hours before the police ultimately arrested me.
Now, when you were arrested, you were charged with owning weapons that you legally owned. Was the issue that you didn't purchase them in New Jersey? Can you help our viewers understand what the gun laws were in New Jersey that you were charged with?
So, 3 days before I'd moved, I'd called the New Jersey State Police to ask them how to move. And they walked me through all of the laws in New Jersey. One of them is, one of the laws that doesn't exist is registration of firearms. There's no legal requirement that an individual who owns firearms has to register them. And I was talking to the detective, and he told me that he'd really like me to, but that I didn't have to. But when I was arrested, they arrested me on a charge. If you look at my the actual complaint against me, it's illegal possession of unregistered firearms. And when I explained to the police officers that that wasn't actually a crime because there's no registration law, they changed it to illegal possession of firearms. And I found this happening a lot, that I actually had to explain what the laws were to the local police officers who were arresting me, including explaining to them what the statutes are in New Jersey and what the federal statutes are that allow for people to transport their firearms. But in New Jersey, possession of firearms is pretty much illegal. And then there's a laundry list of exemptions that people can meet in order to legally possess firearms. And that means they can legally own them in their house, they can take them from a place of purchase to their house, They can take it from their house to go hunting or to go to the shooting range and back. And of course, they can take the firearms from one house to another when they're moving. But the police officers had no idea that these were the exemptions. All they knew was it's illegal to possess firearms in the state of New Jersey. So they arrested me based on that.
So when you found yourself having to explain yourself, explain the law to the police officers, at what point did you realize that you were in a lot more trouble than maybe you initially realized?
It was even before I had to start explaining what the laws were. Originally, the police officers called me from my parents' house and told me that they wanted me to come back because anytime they get an abandoned 911 call, they want to check people for bruises to make sure they weren't assaulted because it's of a domestic nature. And I knew that the police officers were probably standing next to my maybe 90, 95-pound blonde mother who would never hurt anybody and who pretty much lived just for the benefit of her children, and knew it was a disingenuous request and knew that there was absolutely no way that he thought I had any bruises on me. And I was pretty worried then. And I asked him if I was legally required to come back, and he said no. So I said, okay, I'm not going to come back then. About a minute later, he called me and told me that they had issued a statewide general alert and that the police would be on the lookout for the make and model of my car, and that if I didn't come back on my own, I was going to be arrested and taken back. And he pretty much told me I could do it the easy way or the hard way. And I mean, when you know, the guy with the badge and the gun tells you there's an easy way and a hard way, and we're telling everybody in the state with a badge and a gun to be on the lookout for you, you tend to do what they tell you to do.
Now, when you finally had all of the formal charges brought up against you, you know, a lot of people will talk about the plea deals and how there's a lot of pressure to take plea deals. Were you pressured to take a plea deal out of the gate?
Yeah, out of the gate. There's a lot of controversy around what happened with me and plea deals. Mm-hmm. I had retained a lawyer to represent me through trial, and I'd received about 4 or 5 plea deals, and I thought that was a lot. I thought maybe the prosecutor or the judge would tell me once or twice, hey, here's a plea offer. You can take it or not. It's up to you. And that would be it. But my original lawyer was pretty upset that I wasn't taking any of these deals that he was getting for me. And I'd let him know from the beginning that I had really no intention of taking a deal. And so he filed a motion to be relieved as counsel. That's when I was left high and dry, and that's ultimately why the two of us wound up meeting, and you know why I wound up on Freedom Watch.
Mm-hmm. Right, for our listeners that don't know, the story that I told in the intro was actually Brian's sister who contacted me because at the time I was a producer at Fox with Judge Andrew Napolitano, and we had the show Freedom Watch. And so when his sister contacted me, we did everything we could to try and help get the publicity out to explain what was happening with Brian. At that time, you were incarcerated, correct?
I wasn't incarcerated at that time. I had spent a weekend in prison, mm-hmm. and then the lawyer that I had filed that motion to be relieved as counsel, and within weeks, you guys had me on the show to talk about what I was going through, and the very next day, I had hundreds of emails telling me, hire this one guy in New Jersey. He wrote 4 or 5 books on New Jersey gun laws. And ultimately, because you guys had me on the show, the NRA wound up coming in and financing my criminal defense, which is something that in over 100 years, they rarely, if ever, do. And it was very significant. It was a turning point in my case.
Now, one of the big things that people talked about with your case was the behavior of the judge. It was called a flaming liberal. Do you feel that the judge that was trying to make an example out of you, Brian?
He absolutely was. So at the time that he was hearing my case, the news had already come out in the Trentonian and a few other newspapers in New Jersey that Governor Christie was not going to be appointing him to his life tenure. And after I'd appeared on Freedom Watch on Fox, he told me in a pretrial hearing that Judge Andrew Napolitano was not the judge in my case. As far as he was concerned, Fox News was trying to use me, that guns were illegal in the state of New Jersey, I was guilty, and I was going to go to jail. And he continued to tell me that this case had nothing to do with the Second Amendment and was not going to be a referendum on the Second Amendment.
Right, right. I remember that. Unbelievable. So the you were eventually freed. It wasn't an actual pardon, but what it was basically just sort of time served, right? So you're technically still a felon, is that correct?
That is correct. I asked the governor not to issue a pardon, because a pardon pretty much forgives you for the crime that you committed. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to be let out of prison so that I could fight the convictions through the appellate division. And Governor Christie did exactly that.
So do you give Governor Christie a lot of credit for freeing you, or are you still upset because you're still a felon?
Well, both. I think he went above and beyond, and I don't think Governor Corzine or Cuomo or any of those governors would have had the testicular fortitude to do what Governor Christie did. And now that we've gone through the appellate division and two of the major convictions have been overturned and the Supreme Court has decided not to hear my case, now I'm a little upset that I'm a convicted felon. And so right now I'm kind of considering, what are my options here? How do I get this off my record so that I can vote again, so that I can pass a background check just to get an apartment or for a credit application, or even to see my son again? Because when I filed a motion to have my custody reinstated with my son after I'd been let out of prison by Governor Christie, I presented the signed commutation order to the family court judge. And the family court judge told me that Governor Christie had nothing to do with custody of my son, and that as far as he was concerned, nothing had changed. I was still, at that time, guilty of all of the convictions and all of the charges, and that as far as he was concerned, I should probably still be in prison. And had Governor Christie not commuted my sentence, I would still be there.
I want to get back to the gun issue for a little bit later in this show, but I'd like to discuss right now, there was a comment that I read on someone else who had reviewed your book, a woman by the name of Suzanne Venker. I want to talk a little bit about modern culture and how it deals with our court system. Suzanne Venker, she wrote a review of your book, and it said, that it shows the, quote, evils that a scorned woman can inflict on a good man and how a biased court system will work in her favor. Do you think that our court system is tilted against white men with guns and towards women?
Well, I think our court system is tilted against people. In almost every way that you look at it, it's the state versus the individual. Mm-hmm. And the state has unlimited funds and resources.
I hate to cut you off, but it appears as if Suzanne is implying that the court system is weighted towards one gender. Did you see that, or do you just disagree?
She is implying that, and that's what I experienced, especially in family court. It was unbelievable how little evidence was needed for anything. In fact, when I was in court and I was trying to defend myself with evidence and with facts, all my former wife's attorney had to do was say the words "guns, guns, guns," and that was enough. No conviction at this time. I was only charged with a violentless and victimless offense, but that was enough for them to triple my child support and take my son completely away from me.
Man, that's unbelievable. So what happened to the woman who reported you? I guess she now retains full custody of your child now, and are you ever looking at an opportunity to being a part of your son's life?
Well, that's really why I wrote the book. I'm hoping funds from the sale of the book will help me get really the financial resources that I need to go after custody of my son. Unfortunately, she has a trust fund that she can draw from, where anytime something legal pops up, she's able to draw in advance of $20,000. And that just sinks me. Every time that I go in and I've got a little bit of money saved up and I think, okay, now I'm ready to get custody of my son back, all of my ducks are in a row, I just never have the financial resources to go up against that.
Right, right. Interesting. So there was another case recently, let's get back to the gun issue in Jersey. There's another case recently that was similar to yours. A woman was transporting her licensed gun through Jersey from Pennsylvania. She thought her permit was going to be honored, and she ended up getting in big trouble because when she was pulled over, the officers found her guns, and, similar story. with a similar ending to yours. But it hasn't quite gone all the way through the court system yet. But what I want to ask you, Brian, is if you could tell people what to do to not get in trouble in New Jersey, could you give us some tips about what we should do if you're a gun owner?
Yeah. Well, here's the advice that the state trooper and the judge in Shanine Allen's case told Shanine. Lie to me. They told her that she wouldn't be there in criminal court had she just lied to them about possessing firearms. It's kind of crazy that that's the state that a lot of us live in. I no longer live in New Jersey, but there's still well over 100,000 gun owners, probably more, who live in New Jersey, and that's the advice that the state police and the judge gave Shanine.
How old is your son now, Brian?
He's 6 years old.
6 years old, that's about the age when a father can start teaching a son to shoot. You think you'll ever get the opportunity to do that?
I really want to. I was hopeful that by last Christmas I would have had some sort of custody plan. And I now know, based on going through this for 5 years, that it's going to take more time than that. But I'm hoping I can, eventually teach him to shoot, but in order for that to happen, I not only need to be able to see him, but I need to no longer be a convicted felon, because I can't even hold a firearm, let alone teach my son what my grandfather taught me how to do.
And that's what this book is all about. Brian, can you tell us a little bit about where we can find a copy of your book if our listeners are interested?
Yeah, so the book is available online through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and through a bunch of indie bookstores like the communist bookstore Red Emma's down in Baltimore, and Tattered Books in Denver, and Pals in Portland. So it's really available all across the country.
Very interesting. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you enjoyed this show and you're looking to grab a copy of the book, you can also find a link to it at thelibertarianrepublic.com, where we're sourced, right where this podcast is sourced. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher. Brian, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me on, Austin.
Thank you, and good luck.